Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, I've been super excited all day to talk to my next two special guests. These are two moms who have been using hundreds of pairs of children's shoes to get the attention of our state legislators and let the public know how the underfunding of special education here in the state of Wisconsin is hurting all children. I'm super happy to be joined by Melissa Custer. She's from Grafton, mother of two neurodivergent children, as well as Tiffany Shano, who resides in Sheboygan and has three kids. Her youngest child is autistic. They met at a parent advocacy and leadership training through Family Voices Wisconsin and bonded over their shared experiences of getting their children the education and services that they need to be successful in school. They asked a lot of questions, did a lot of reading, and they figured out that our school funding formula is a little screwed up, especially when it comes to special education here in the state of Wisconsin. They've started a grassroots parent-led campaign to unite families across the political spectrum to help support our kids that have special needs. And let's now bring them onto the show. Welcome, Melissa. Welcome, Tiffany. Thank you so very much for being here, ladies. Your work is incredibly important. So I want to start with you, Tiffany. What made you start the Learn in My Shoes campaign, which, by the way, love the name. That's what it's about.
Thank you. So for us, it was really about being able to share what we had learned, and we'd heard so many stories from families just like ours, from parents who'd had so much difficulty just getting their children the education that they have rights to. And we wanted to share those stories, but we wanted to do it in a way that would grab attention with our legislators. We wanted them to stop and to pay attention. And for families like ours, sometimes it can be difficult for them to be able to travel to the Capitol it can be intimidating to reach out to their legislators. So we wanted to do it in a way that they would be able to participate and have their voices heard.
So important. Melissa, what was it like when you met Tiffany, and how did the idea germinate? Like, hey, we got to do our own thing. We got to start a new organization. We got to get the word out. How did that all come together?
Well, when I met Tiffany, I heard her telling her story in this room full of parent advocates, and I was like, I need to meet her. we need to help each other. And we started talking, and we just became close, and we send each other ridiculous memes every day.
I can tell you
it
one
is the foundation.
Like ridiculous text message exchanges are the foundation and the lifeblood of all good friendships. I have met a couple of other incredible female electeds and advocates by noticing them in rooms saying what needed to be said as clear as it needed to be said and saying, hey, I got to meet you because we're in this together. So tell me, can you make clear for our listeners, Tiffany, why and how the lack of adequate special education funding actually ends up harming all kids, even if your kid is like a super overperformer and college bound, all that good stuff. It's of a whole. And when we're not servicing the kids with special educational needs, it actually ends up hurting all of our students in all of our schools. Tell us how that comes together. Why is there a nexus there?
Absolutely. So right now in the state of Wisconsin, for every dollar that your school spends on special education, they're reimbursed about less than 30%.
So less than 30 cents. Every dollar that a public school spends for special education, the state only returns to that school system. It's 29 cents on the dollar. I've also done my homework.
Yes.
So your school system has to make up that 71 cents from somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you can tell me where it comes from, Tiffany.
Yeah, that actually comes out of your school district's general education fund. So these districts are running a deficit and they have to make up the deficit somehow. And that's how we end up with school districts who are on this referendum treadmill, I've heard it called.
Yes.
Where they're just going referendum to referendum, just trying to keep going.
And one of the disparities here, the lack of, disparity is a fancy word for it's really unfair. One of the big pieces of the unfairness here is that we're asking our public school systems to find that 71 cents from their general fund, which means they have less money for, I don't know, things like lead abatement, if that might be an issue in your school system. They have less funding for arts education, sports, advanced coursework, and the general coursework and teacher compensation and social worker compensation and mental health. They have less for everything else. But if we turn to the way that our state funds special education for voucher schools, Melissa, it's quite different, isn't it? It's unfairly different, I might say.
Yes, it is. Voucher schools are reimbursed by at least 90%, some sufficient, I believe. So and that's really not fair.
Yeah, let me. So no one misses this point. Special education funding in the state of Wisconsin for public schools, if a public school spends a dollar on SPED, I'm just going to use the acronym here on SPED, special education, the state gives the public school 29 cents. If you are a voucher school and you spend a dollar on SPED, the state gives you 90 cents back?
Yes.
Why are our special education kids in voucher systems entitled to more reimbursement than our special education kids in our actual public school system?
I don't know, because private schools are also not required to fulfill they're not bound by IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, where public schools are, and so they're required by law to fulfill these services, and they need to get that money from somewhere.
So let me
It's a fight.
let me flesh this out. So a public school can't deny special education to any child. Voucher schools can. They're not bound by IDEA, a federal law. They're not bound to take all students, which if I extrapolate this out, Tiffany, let me be sure I'm going to get this straight. Yeah. The voucher school, if they deign to take a child that has special education needs, they can select which child with what special needs they want. They're not compelled to follow federal law, and yet the state is giving them 90 cents on the dollar for every dollar they spend, which means, again, extrapolating here, if I was running a voucher school, I would take the kids that have learning educational challenges that are, you know, the least costly, the least complicated, not the hardest kids to educate. And I'd leave for those public schools with their 29 cents on every dollar to struggle to fund the educational needs which public schools are legally required to provide with their 29 cents on the dollar. Mm-hmm. So you're creating this, it's sort of like doubling down on the unfairness because voucher schools don't have to follow federal law and take all children.
But it gets worse. So if your child attends a voucher school and they are a student who requires special education and you decide that they cannot, or the school decides that they cannot be served properly in that voucher school, and you send your child back to your local public school district, that voucher school still keeps the money.
Keeps the money.
Yeah, that money doesn't follow your child back into public school special education. So it's a mess, right? And we're just asking for what's fair. We're asking for 60% special education reimbursement for public schools, and we should be asking for 90, but we're trying to be reasonable.
Now, Melissa, as I understand it, the state's nonpartisan legislative fiscal bureau has actually analyzed the need for these local referendums so that people, whereby residents say, yep, you can raise my taxes to fund my public school system. The LFB, nonpartisan, did an analysis to look at whether or not these extraordinary rates of local public school referendums would be necessary if we simply made the special education funding formula the same for voucher and public schools. Tell us more about what they found, Melissa.
That's actually a better question for Tiffany, to be honest.
That's fair. You guys can bounce the ball back and forth to one another. I'm not the only one that can do that. Tiffany, tell us a little bit about what the LFB found. The best answer to some questions is, I don't know. Go ask this person. I love that. Tiffany, tell us a little bit about the LFB.
They found that 1 in 5 referendums could have been avoided. And 271 of our 421 districts in Wisconsin went up for referendum over the past 2 years. Some multiple times.
Wow.
That's not acceptable.
Wow. 20% of this explosion in local referenda would be completely avoidable if we simply did what is right and fair and funded special education in public schools just like we do so in our voucher programs. That's stunning. Mm-hmm. Melissa, let me ask you a question. You were obviously compelled and persuaded by Tiffany's deep technical knowledge of this issue. I think a lot of people are really intimidated by that. They think, hey, I don't know enough of the specifics or details here. That means I can't get involved. If that's a fair description of how you may have felt at the outset of this, how did you get over that anxiety to yourself become an activist in this way and help elevate this issue alongside Tiffany?
I think that it just came to the point where it was more important than my fears. Mm. It's more important than that. So I just pushed myself and, you know, got more comfortable as time went on. We've been through some really difficult times with my older son in school. I'm actually homeschooling him because they were not able to support his high support needs. And I need to do whatever I can to stop it from happening to other families.
Melissa, I want to say you're my today hero, because what you said is the secret to unlocking the power of regular people. And that is that the issue becomes more important than our individual fear or discomfort. Mm-hmm. So you're my today hero. Thank you for being brave enough to do, like, that is a real thing. Like, I cannot tell you how many times I hear from folks like, well, I don't know all that much about it, so who am I to get involved? And I'm like, you're the exact, like, right person, regular person. Yeah, please, no. Get involved.
Public speaking is the last thing I ever thought I'd be doing. Getting involved in politics, literally the last things I ever thought I'd be doing.
Well, let me just say this, Melissa. Please keep public speaking. We need you. We appreciate you. Folks, that's Melissa Custer and Tiffany Shano, co-founders of Learn In My Shoes. You can find out more on their Facebook page. Also go to www.learninmyshoeswi.org. Ladies, thank you for your fearless advocacy. When we come back, I'll have closing thoughts on the day. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay safe out there.